Hello, welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. Today, we have a special presentation from the Heralds of Hope Strategic Partner Breakfast. Listen along as Tony Hollinger presents Value Beyond the Dollar.
What is the purpose of being in business? Most responses would go something like, even in Christian businesses, well, the purpose of business is to maximize return on investment. You hear that a lot. We don't want to use the word profit too much, but at the end of it, at the end of the day, underlying how we make decisions, it comes back to how do we maximize return on investment? How do we maximize profits? However, if we look at the Genesis account, we see a different approach. And one of the books that has been influential in our company, in my life, Jeff Van Duzer, about 10 years ago, wrote the book, Why God Cares About Business. It's a great read. I'd recommend it to anyone. But it brings out the idea. He really turns the focus on looking at what happened in Genesis as a model for how we are going to either run our businesses or influence those who are in business. So what does creation teach us? When we talk about value beyond the dollar, what does creation teach us? And we know that in the garden, before the curse, God had already instituted that work was a part of who we are. And right off the bat, he gave Adam the job of naming animals. And I don't know if you're in the animal industry, can you imagine what job that was? That was a huge responsibility. It was work that God gave Adam to do right off the bat. Tilling the garden, the Bible even talks about how there were certain things in the garden that had not yet come to fruition because the humans weren't there to help till it, to help make it happen, to dress and to keep. The other thing that we learn in Genesis is that the very nature of God is a crafter. He's a builder. He's a maker. He is a farmer and he's a worker. And he then takes these concepts of doing things with our hands and ties it into relationship. In Genesis, we have the Trinity principle. Let us. God was in relationship already before the world was started. Make man in our image. God was already in relationship. And today, work was intended for relationship. We're intended for relationship. God said pretty quick, it's not good for man to be alone. We're intended for relationship. And God, I believe in business today, God intends people and relationships to come together in meaningful interactions in a way that we can impact our community. What is God's intention for a godly business? And I think it really boils down to one thing, two things. It is an opportunity for us to change and improve the community that we live in or the community that we're going to serve. So whether that's right in Dayton or whether that's on a state level, there are some players that operate on a global level. But it is the opportunity for us to impact. When we think about what are the products and services, how can I use products and services to not take from my community, but improve it? In a sense, that is the core of what business is. The second thing that of what business can do is God also intended business. It's an opportunity for us as a business leader or for somebody that is going to give our time to a business that this is an opportunity for us to express the aspects of our God-given identity around this table. You know how Apostle Paul talks about all the gifts, talks about spiritual gifts. There's also gifts that work. And God's intention for us is that we have an outlet. And we, if we're a business leader, we're creating an opportunity, an outlet for people to express the talents that God gave them. That is what the gift of a business leader can have. And if we are in a setting that we have the opportunity to create an opportunity for somebody else to express their God-given talent. One of the things that changed our mindset as a company is understanding how God actually does value material things. Back to the Garden of Eden. I had a warped picture of the Garden of Eden. I thought of Adam, Adam and Eve, they were just enjoying the day. There was pick some fruit if you're hungry, and if you're not hungry, go for a walk. And much really a static picture. And that's not what the garden was. The garden was actually, it was meant. God brought everything together. It was perfectly resourced. And from the beginning, God intended the garden for him to partner with humans to produce. And when I think about that, God intended work to be the avenue for relationship. And it was meaningful. That is at the core of who we are. From the beginning, work is intended for a relationship. We're intended to serve each other. If God's intention for a business is to create relationships, that ultimately means when you want to start a business, or you're thinking about starting a business, or you're already in business, and sometimes we become overwhelmed and we're like, I don't know why I started this in the first place. There'll be certain times of the year that we all ask that question. Why did I ever think this was what my skill set was? But it comes down to two things. Are we a business that serves? The biblical model for business comes down to serve. God's intention for a Christian business is to revolve around serving. So we've at Ebling's, we sell power equipment. We sell zero-turn mowers and Coyote tractors and Avant wheel loaders. And we've been wrestling with this for the last few years about how can we bring the team together to connect the dots of why do I do what I do? Whether it's accounting, whether it's upkeep, whether it's maintenance, whether it's sales, whether it's service, why do I do what I do? And then ultimately, we came down to it. Our business focus needs to be, how can we abundantly serve? When we abundantly serve, we bring glory to God. And when I think about the business people that I know sitting around this table, this is what you excel at. You recognize the gifts that you bring to the table of what you're good at, and what's your passion, where your passion and your skill set come together. And of course, it pays the bills. If we're missing any one of those, it is bound for trouble. But abundantly serving, what does that mean? It was sort of a King James word, and I pushed back for a while. Like, who uses the word abundantly anymore? Ken will use it in a message, but it's what J. Marco used in a teaching, but abundantly. And the more we talked, we're like, no, that is who a business is called to be, is to not only serve, but abundantly serve, to go beyond. Many Christians would say they don't follow the secular model. And the secular model is, imagine a triangle up here. And if indeed, I drove through here, Cargill's right out here, and Cargill would consider themselves that they are responsible to bring return on investment to their investors, to the shareholders. That is their number one. In fact, many accountants will say that is your number one job if you're a corporation, is to bring maximum return on investment to the shareholders. And that can become the driving goal. And then they say, we need good employees and we need good customers. The other points of this triangle to do that. And what that means is the overall goal is profit, and employees and customers become the means to achieve this overarching goal of profit. It's not what God intended. God intended the upside down triangle. Here, these companies exist and they work because they recognize that we need to treat our employees well or we don't get return on investment. And they recognize that we need to take care of our customers or we don't get ROI. So on the surface, it works. And it looks like this is the way to do business, but it's upside down. Jesus' kingdom is upside down. And Jesus' kingdom, when we look at what are we called to do as a business? We are called to serve. Who are we serving? Again, we're serving our customers. We're serving our employees as a business owner. And the means that we do that is profit. It's opposite. Profit becomes the means, not the end, of what we're called to do. And when we begin to filter decisions through all these things, that profit is necessary. I'm not here saying profit is a bad thing. Any of you that says profit is a bad thing, whether it's a non-profit or a business, you're not sustainable. It's not going to work. However, profit cannot be the end goal. Profit is the means of how we carry out what we're called to do. When a company is focused on serving, profit is the means, not the end. This is where we find value beyond the dollar. A godly business is called to serve. And essentially, when I think about serving, it is serving these two groups of people. Am I improving the community with our business? Am I creating opportunities for someone else to express their God-given talent through employment? That's the two things a business is called to do. To bring glory to God, we are going to serve. So we're going to look outward and then we're going to look inward. What does that mean? So outward, I'm going to look at how do we impact the community? Inward is inside the company, how do we impact those that we work with? Looking outward, our calling to be in business, it's best aligned when we really hone in on, okay, what are the products and services that do bring value beyond the dollar? How can I improve this segment of our community or wherever our market is that we're trying to touch? What are the things that improve? What are the things that help a community to flourish? And we ask that question because in many ways, we've seen over the years, some of you have years of experience behind you. You have seen when people have used communities, they took advantage of communities to create profit. And they did not leave it a better place. That's not a godly business. Looking inward, and we're seeking to improve opportunities for people, our employees, we need to ask the question, is what I'm asking them to do, does it align with something they are able to express their talent of work being meaningful, work being an outlet for their creativity? And here's where it gets a little sticky. All of us, all parts of our business are a little mundane. There's parts of it that I got into lawnmowers because I loved lawnmowers. From the time I was 12 years old, I was like, lawnmowers is my life. I knew what I was going to do. Dad bought me a mower and it forever ruined me. And I often think back to that, as I tell Dad sometimes, you should have bought me a stethoscope or like media set or something else, but he bought me a lawnmower. So loved it. And when I think about that, for me, it was an avenue. I love machines. And I realized this machine is a tool to serve. And I also discovered that just because I love something doesn't mean there's money in it. Doesn't happen for dairy farmers, but for some industries, just because I love it doesn't mean that it paid the bills. And for us to find an avenue that, for me, if I would have, yes, I could have gotten a job somewhere else where I would have been serving the Lord doing a mundane task. And I would have missed out on actually using gifts that God gave me. So how do we marry that with the fact that parts of our business are really boring? Because now I don't hardly even get to do anything related to lawnmower anymore. And some of you just discovered the same thing. The very thing that you love to do is not what you have in your hands. Sometimes we have employees that find themselves in a position that they feel like this is not really what God created me to do. As business owners, I think it's good for us to recognize that if I'm going to create opportunity for God-given talent to express their outlet, that means I'm going to be careful who I bring on board. For sometimes it serves a purpose of ability to serve a home, to help pay someone's mortgage. That is right and good. However, long term, a business is called to think beyond that. If I'm going to serve our employees, I'm like, how am I going to provide an outlet for what God created for them and assume the responsibility that comes with that? When we think, sometimes it could almost keep you awake at night, that this, the group of employees that is depending on we as a partnership to make good decisions, the children at home, the schools that are supported because of how decisions I'm making, it's sobering. That's what I'm called to do. It does mean also that if I'm called to do that for somebody, that if they have an option of working for me or they have an option for working for somebody else, just because he is an excellent catch doesn't mean he's a right fit for us, because it might not be meaningful work for him. And if he is not expressing his God-given talent, that is actually, in a sense, holding him back. Now, I'm going to say right off the bat, there's limits and boundaries to this, because this is a first world conversation. Third world conversations, there's value in all work. And the same way for here, there's value in all work, and no work is below us. It's I'm looking at it more from the business leader's perspective, is how well do I take the responsibility of using profit to serve my people? The other thing that this means is we had a job opening, had a mom come in, and she was well qualified for this job. It was a work from home position. And I could tell instantly that I recognized more worth in her than she saw in herself. She came in, she wanted this job, she interviewed for it, and she was the right fit. She was the right person. I could see that she was going to be using a gift that she had for us and for her. But in her mind, we always have our job applications. What are you looking to make? What does it take? What does it take for this to work for you? And in her mind, what she was worth was much lower than I knew what she was worth. As a business owner and a business leader, what is my responsibility in that scenario? Somebody who's driving the conversation that what's maximum return on investment will say that if I can hire that person for 10 bucks an hour, but they're worth 20, hey, she only wants 10, I'm gonna go for 10. And you might even think that we're being good stewards by doing that. And I'm gonna say, no, we're actually not serving the person we are called to serve as a business owner. When we hired that person, we paid her what she was worth, and I could see she wasn't expecting it, and I could see the value in her own world beyond the dollar going up. When a company believes in people, they see, sometimes you see talent they don't even see in themselves. That's how we're called to serve that group of people. Why do we exist? Why do we do what we do? Can we be an asset to our community and to our people? This works for business. This actually works for nonprofits as well. If I was to ask Tony High, say, what is the purpose of Heralds of Hope? And he says, it's our purpose is to raise funds. What's the driving goal of that organization? If I ask Ken, what's the purpose of soil technologies? And you're like, it's to make money. Ken's got the wrong end front. Of course, businesses need profit, and nonprofits need funds, or they're going to die. We recognize that. But it's the means to serve. It's not the end. Business and nonprofits, they both exist to serve. What we shared this morning about Heralds of Hope, and one of the reasons I came on board with Heralds of Hope, was I recognized early the calling to, that from an early stage, they took up this calling to serve. This vision is expanding. The vision is growing of how can we serve? How can we use the funds that come in to serve? And ultimately, that is the same for nonprofit, and it's for business. We shouldn't spend a lot of time. When you got up this morning, it's like, today my purpose is to breathe. That's not how we function. But you know what? We have to have breath to function. We have to have breath to move. And so it is a very important part of what we do, but that does not become our purpose. If Kevin spent all day trying to focus on how he's going to breathe, he's not going to carry out the purpose he was called to do. Profit is necessary, but profit is not the purpose. Profit is the means. Leaders are constantly called on to make decisions. So this is the internally focused decisions. How do we organize? How do I hire? How do I finance our operations? And then the decisions that are external. What should I make? Who should I sell it to? What price? Instead of asking what maximizes my profit, we need to ask, with the skill set that God gave me, the capital that God gave me access to, how can I help this community flourish? Our customers, how can I help them flourish and grow? Number two, how can I use that to provide opportunities for someone else? It transforms a business, and it's called value beyond the dollar. We found in our company, when we really hone in on this, and it's so easy to lose track of. We might think we're doing a good job of honing in on this now, but we're losing our way again next month. It's one of the things, just because you have it doesn't mean you can't lose it. But the good news is, if you don't have it, you can gain it. This constant coming back to, why do we exist as a business? Why do we exist as a godly business? It provides clarity to everyone, even down to the mundane task of, why do I do what I do? And if we can't put it into words, it becomes a job, even for people that this is meeting their skill set. If we can't connect with the why, even though this is what they're made to do, they'll lose interest. The core purpose of serving. God's intent is for businesses that every aspect of our business, from the mundane to the transactions, from the buying, the selling, the financing, the hiring, shop, the shipping, the marketing, it is, all of this activity is intended to be pleasing to God. And that's the message out of creation. All these little mundane things is intended to bring God glory. It's not only, I'd like to be profitable so I can turn around and write a check to Heralds of Hope. It's much, much bigger than that. The realities of business, when we glorify God in this way, you know, we're both using the instrumental part of our business along with the practical part of our business to bring glory to God. The reality of business also means there's common sense. If you lend money to your son to start a business, you're expecting a return on your investment. If a company could help a community grow by selling things below cost, just because you could doesn't mean you shouldn't. Common sense. We're not saying all excess profits should go to the employees. Common sense. It's about keeping things in the right perspective in the right place. Many times I've found that we think we are serving for the right reasons, but when we take a step back, we realize, okay, I said I was serving, but it wasn't really to serve the customers and the employees. It was a strategy for more profit. this discussion has to happen over and over again. Jeff Van Duzer's book, Why Business Matters to God, he asked this question. He says this statement. Do you agree with it? It's only when businesses are fulfilling God's intentions that they're engaged in kingdom work. Tough statement. It's only when businesses are fulfilling God's intentions are they engaged in kingdom work. To create value beyond the dollars, two things. Provide products and services that improve our community is to provide opportunity for meaningful work. It doesn't end there. Just like in the garden with Adam and Eve, God put limits on their industry. God put limits on what they could do. And that's what he does with our businesses as well. If you have a purpose with no limits, you're dangerous. And you will cause harm. God placed limits. As close to my house is the Conestoga River. The Conestoga River feeds into the Susquehanna. And about 20 minutes below our Lancaster store, there is a big dam. And there's a power plant right there to produce electricity. The power plant represents the purpose of our business. If the business is going to be done right and produce power, this river has to be directed and it has to be controlled. If the dam's not built correctly to deal with the unpredictability of this river, if there's not levees in place to guide this river towards the dam, great harm and loss of life is going to happen. Business today, business is capable of so much good. From the smallest business, from the single employee business to the company with 300 employees, they're capable of so much good. But if there's not restraints, even what is intended for good will cause harm. What are the limits that God places in our business? This is the practical. What should a business do and not do? In number one, I think as a business owner, we are called to be sustainable. We are not called to use a community and go out. We're not called to take an employee's valuable time and squander it. It needs to be sustainable. As a business carries out the goal of serving, it needs to do good, not harm. That means this needs to apply to everyone involved. It needs to be good for the owner and the owner's family. It needs to be good for the employees. It needs to be good for the community. In our Trinity Triangle, we include the vendors and suppliers. It needs to be good for the vendors. If it's not a good deal for them, it's not a good deal for all involved, and we're causing harm. If we drill down to I got the best cost of that load of fertilizer that I could possibly get. I had them up against the wall. I used a strong arm tactic with it, and we got it down to the last penny. It wasn't good for everybody involved. That's causing harm. Businesses need a profit. Investors need ROI. Operating at a loss brings harm to all, even those that we seek to serve. Our employees bring value, and they can't be used as a means to the end. What does that mean for employees? Our employees need a sense of privacy in while they work for us. They need a work-life balance. Now, we're Anabaptists. We're pretty industrious, love efficiency. We love being harnessed. And it's always a question, do we have good work-life balance? Are our employees going to have good work-life balance? It is not sustainable. Neither does it do good if we, back to the question of the mom sitting in front of me that needed work. If we take someone, if we take all their full-time hours, 45 hours a week, they give them to us. But we know that we can hire them for this certain wage. We created, and it's not a living wage. Anybody that's making a payment on a house or raising a family or trying to put your child through school knows about what it takes to survive for a living wage. If we take an employee's full-time hours and we're not able to meet that, we're robbing that employee. And it's sobering. If we're a business owner, we're called to serve that employee. It's not sustainable to use up all the productive hours and not pay them something they can live on. If you work 45 hours a week somewhere, you don't have much to give anywhere else. You can't work two full-time jobs like that to make ends meet and have work-life balance. Employers are called to do good, not harm. Customers need to have their reasonable expectations met. Marketing and selling. Sometimes in our business, we have somebody wants to come in and buy a tractor, Coyote tractor, a UTV side-by-side. And after a while, we discover that their dreams were bigger than what they could actually afford. But they want to, so we're going to run it. Hey, 0%, we can finance it. Okay. We cannot get financing for them because they already have obligations they're not meeting. And what does a business that serves God do at that point? Does a business do good to try to get somebody to go with a high rate, long lender loan just to get them sold on a piece that they think they want, that they actually know they can't afford? What do we do in that case? We feel like we're doing good. We could be causing harm. It takes away human dignity when we don't bring that into our picture. Improving our communities, to touch on that one last time, when a business comes into Dayton, one of the things I can tell right away has going for Dayton, that there's character, there's already a legal structure in place, there's existing businesses that will actually support your business. It's capital that you're going to draw on. I'm going to be here because here's where the traffic is. Here's where there's a social structure here. There's property value here. And what I do with that, am I going to actually improve that around me? Or am I going to come in with a company that's going to actually bring the property value down of those? I'm going to take instead of giving back. Do we add to the legal appeal, to the intellectual appeal of our community, to the social appeal? Our business is part of a bigger system. And when we recognize that we're here to do good and to improve through our products and services, we're a God-honoring business that's finding value beyond the dollar. Now I know, closing, business is managing many competing demands. These things are often in tension. We're aware that we're operating business under the fall and under the curse. We don't always have this balance perfect. We might be up against it. If I pay my employee a good wage, that means I have to price my things out of market and it's not going to sell. What do I do? That's the tension that we live in every day. How are we going to make a decision in that? I don't come to you with a boxed answer because there is not. That's the tensions where we need to do the best that we can. Of course, we can't sacrifice kingdom values for the sake of business survival. And business survival, talk about what's the most important. Business survival cannot be the most important thing either. Or it will cause us to do things that sacrifice kingdom principles. We are not guaranteed a profitable business, but God does want us to use business as a tool. For us to use business as a tool, we do have to be in business. Here's the tension. The limits of sustainability will always tend to overshadow our main purpose of serving. And that's why every day, every decision we make, we're going to be back and forth this process of trying to find balance of how do I serve the people that I'm called to serve. The value beyond the dollar is found through serving. And Jesus said, if any will be the greatest among you, then become the least. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about Heralds of Hope or our strategic partner breakfasts, visit us online at heraldsofhope.org. That's HERALDS of hope.org. Or give us a call at 1-866-960-0292. Or email us at hope at heraldsofhope.org. And until we meet again, do all to the honor and glory of God, pointing souls to Jesus, our living hope.